Hallelujah. Wow. Do we really mean that? Do we want to be close to Him? Is there nothing in this world that matters but Him to us? Hopefully after today, after this message, we'll, if you don't mean it, we're going to mean it. It don't even feel like we've been here 4 days in a row, huh? I'm loving the month of Tishri. Loving it. Hallelujah. So good to us. Anybody else loving it? Am I the only one? No, because y'all here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. So here we are. We are going into our Yom Kippur. Coming up, the Day of Atonement. The Day of Covering. And the title of the message is Yom Kippurim. It's a prophetic picture of the priesthood of Messiah. And we're going to show that. We're going to lay the foundation down in Leviticus. And then we're going to see how we can tie it in our Hebrews account. But we have to lay the foundation first. And this picture is a wonderful picture. How Aaron and his priestlyhood and what he did, it was just a perfect picture of Messiah, of what's to come. So in Leviticus 23:26-32, and Yah spoke to Moshe, saying, on the 10th day of this seventh new moon is Yom HaKippurim. It's the plural for Yom Kippur. It shall be a set apart gathering for you, and you shall afflict your beings, and shall bring an offering made by fire to Yah. Afflict our being, it's going to call for a fast. We're going to fast on that, on our Yom Kippur day, a full fast. We can have water, but we want to afflict, we ought to feel it. We ought to feel something. We ought to want. It ought to make us want something. So we ought to afflict our beings. And you do no work on that same day, for as Yom Kippur, to make atonement for you before Yah your Elohim. For any being who is not afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. Now, we can't bring the burnt sacrifices that they brought back then, but we can bring spiritual sacrifices. We can bring our praise. We can bring our worship. We can bring our prayer. You know, that's the kind of things we can bring to Him on that day. And any being who does not work on that day, who does any work on that same day, that being I shall destroy from the midst of his people. You do no work, a law, how often? Forever. It's a law forever. It's not to be done away with. Throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It is a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your beings on the ninth day of the new moon at evening. From evening to evening, you observe your Sabbath. Notice how he always wants you to rest. It's amazing how the love he shows for his people. Continue to say he tells us rest, rest, rest. Because rest does a lot for the body that we have no idea how much it heals us internally. It does. So here we go, Leviticus 16:2-34. This is the foundation we're going to lay. And Yah said to Moshe, speak to Aharon, your brother, not to come in at all times to the set apart place inside the veil, the most holy place, before the lid of atonement, which is on the ark, lest he die, because I appeared in the cloud above the lid of the atonement. So notice, and think about Yeshua. As we set this foundation, think about when we read about how he fulfilled all this, how he did all this. Aaron couldn't go in any time he wanted. It was a special time he had to go. He just couldn't go, because he said, not to come in at all times to the set apart place inside the veil before the lid of the atonement, which is on the ark. And listen, if you wasn't here last night, Pastor shared that little story that we're going to watch here on Yom Kippur about Ryan Wyatt fits perfectly. Talks about the ark, talks about the covenant, how we're going to read how the blood fell on the east, on the east side of it, because it couldn't, because Yeshua had to fulfill the west side. The lid of atonement, which is on the ark, lest he die, because I appeared in the cloud above the lid of the atonement. Verse 3, with this, Aharon should come into the set-apart place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as an ascending offering. He should put on the set-apart linen, long shirt with linen trousers of his flesh, and gird himself with a linen girdle, and be dressed with the linen turban. There are set apart garments, and he shall bathe his body in water and shall put them on. It was white. He had to dress himself in this white garment. Couldn't go in just with his everyday clothes. Yah is specific about details, about doing things his ways. Number 5, verse 5. And from the congregation of the children of Israel, he takes 2 male goats as a sin offering, and 1 ram as an ascending offering. And Aharon shall bring the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 goats and let them stand before Yah at the door of the tent of appointment. Notice he's taking 2 goats. And Aharon shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for Yah and the other for Azel. And Aharon shall bring the goat on which the lot for Yah fell, and shall prepare it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for Azel fell is caused to stand alive before Yah to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness to Azel. Just keep all these scriptures in mind, because we're going to read in Hebrews how Yeshua filled everything just exactly like Aharon had to keep it in his priestly days. And Aharon shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself, for his house, and shall slay the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. And shall take a fire holder filled with burning coals of fire from the slaughter place before Yah, with his hands filled with sweet incense, beaten fine, and shall bring it inside the veil. So bring it inside the most holy, the holy of holies. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Yah, and the cloud of incense shall cover the lid of the atonement which is on the witness, lest he die. Notice he had to make a fire before this incense, because the cloud that Yah was, the presence that was going to be in there, if he would have, he couldn't see it, because he would die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the lid of atonement on the east side. On the what side? On the east side. Also in front of the lid of the atonement, he sprinkles some of the blood with his finger 7 times. And he shall slay the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and shall bring his blood inside the veil, and shall do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the lid of the atonement and in the front of the lid of the atonement. And he shall make atonements for the set-apart place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And he does for the tent, and so he does for the tent of appointment, which is dwelling with them in the midst of their uncleanness. Notice there was a bull for this. It was different. He just couldn't use any animal that he wanted. He had to use the animal that Yah told him to use. And it was an animal for the children of Israel's sins. It was an animal for himself. It was an animal for his family. A lot of bloodshed. A lot of innocent animals. Yeshua is the perfect picture. Innocent. Same way. And no man should be in the tent, verse 17, and no man should be in the tent of appointment when he goes in to make atonement in the set-apart place, until he comes out. And he shall make an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the slaughter place that is before Yah and make atonement for it. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull, some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the slaughter place all around. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times and cleanse it, and set it apart from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has finished atoning for the set-apart place in the tent of appointment and the slaughter place, he shall bring the live goat. Then Aharon shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and shall confess over it all the crookednesses of the children of Israel and all the transgressions and all their sins, and shall put them on the head of the goat and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a fit man. So he's going to run it out. And the goat shall bear on itself all their crookedness to a land cut off. Thus he shall send the goat away into the wilderness. Aharon shall then come into the tent of appointment and shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the set-apart place and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his body in water in the set-apart place and shall put on his garments and shall come out and prepare his ascending offering and the ascending offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people and burn the fat of the sin offering on the slaughter place. And he who sent away the goat to Azel washes his garments and shall bathe his body in water. And afterward he comes into the camp, and the bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in a set-apart place, is brought outside the camp. And they shall burn their skins and their flesh and their dung with fire. And he who burns them washes his garments and shall bathe his body in water. And afterward he comes into the camp, and this shall be for you a law forever. In the seventh new moon, on the tenth day of the new moon, you afflict your beings and do no work, the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. Listen, and then talking about that native and that stranger, that's us. We grafted into Israel. So when he speaks of those natives and strangers, hallelujah, that's among you. For on that day he makes atonement for you to cleanse you, to be clean from all your sins before Yah. It is a Sabbath of rest for you, and you shall afflict your beings, a law forever. And the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and shall put on the linen garments, the set-apart garments. The priest who is anointed, ordained to serve as priest in the father's place. How many know Yeshua is the only one that can serve in the, and the only one anointed to serve in the heavenlies? The only one. No one else can serve in there. And he shall put atonement, and he shall make atonement for the most set-apart place, and make atonement for the tent of appointment, and for the slaughter place, and make atonement for the priest, and for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be for you a law forever, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins, once a year. And he did as Yah commanded Moshe. Listen. When Yah gave Moshe specific details, he had to do it exactly like he said. He couldn't prepare the altars and the tabernacle like he wanted to. He had to do it just like Yah has said. And notice, only once a year. Can you imagine if we had to bear our sins for a whole year? Listen, it's hard enough for us to bear it a day, a week. We come in here sometimes like he just beat us up so bad just the day before that we can't even walk up in his place. Think about a whole year. But we have Yeshua in the heavenlies, always making intercession for us every day. Every time we sin, all we got to do is confess and be humble about it. Don't just let it just, it ought to make us have obedience. It's crazy that we just, it's got to mean something to us. Listen, it meant something to Yah. He gave his only son. He gave his only son. That was a lot of reading. But listen, you have to lay the foundation with the Torah. Because if you don't, when you get to the apostolic writings, you start making stuff up. Now, we're going to see how everything that we're going to read from here on out fits exactly what we just read in that Leviticus account. That's why it's so crucial. The Torah is so important to us. You don't realize it. Now we do. Now we, because remember, He opened our minds to the scriptures. I will never forget that. That has been indented in my heart and on my mind. I'm so thankful and so grateful for that. So here we go. Hebrews 8, 1 through 6. Now the summary of what we are saying is we have such a high priest. Listen, I told you, if that song that we just sang, if not all what he want, he's not all what we want after this message, he will be. He will be. Now the summary of what we were saying is we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the greatness. He's not just seated on side of anybody. He is seated on the right hand of the throne of the greatness. We get all these famous sports players, and they calling them the GOAT and the great. They this, they that. Listen to what Hebrews account. He sit on side of the greatness in the heavens, and who serves in the set apart place and of the true tent. Where is that? He's serving forever, making intercessions for us. And of the true tent, which is set up, which Yah set up, and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and slaughters. So it was also necessary for this one. Who's this one that we're talking about? We're talking about Yeshua HaMashiach. Also necessary for this one to have somewhat to offer. And listen, all those bloods, all those goats and bulls, that was all it could do was cover. Could not take away no one's sin. It just covered it. His blood takes it away. Takes it away. You tell me you don't want, that's all we want is him? You better believe it. For indeed, he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the Torah. Verse 5, who serve a copy, a shadow of the heavenly, as Moshe was warned when he was about to make the tent. Notice, Yah told him, look, you're going to make it this way. Now, he's warning them. You got to do it this way. And he did it. Moshe did it exactly how the Father told him to. For he says, since that you make all according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Don't go try to find somebody to draw blueprints for me. No, you're going to do it like I'm showing you, according to this pattern. I'm going to be the architect. I'm your architect. But now he has obtained a more excellent service, inasmuch as he is also mediator of the better covenant, which was constituted on better promises. A better covenant and better promises. Yeshua, our great high priest, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. He's our great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of Elohim, let us hold fast our confessions. Let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest unable to sympathize with our weakness. How he can sympathize with our weakness? Why? Because he was here on earth and he bore everything we went through, he went through, he faced. For us to say, well, you know, he just don't, yeah, he understands. You best believe he understands. You best believe he knew exactly. As a matter of fact, he took it up a notch, like raised the bar. Ain't none of us been plucked out. Ain't none of us been whipped with a crown of thorns, much less hung on a cross. Expanded in air, nailed, none of us. So don't tell me that he ain't sympathizing with our weakness. But one who was tried in all respects as we are, apart from sin. See that kicker? Apart from sin. Did not sin. We fall short. When we, in our weakness, we misbehave. We sin. He didn't. He didn't. And tried in every area of his life. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of favor. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace in order to receive compassion and find favor for timely help. Listen, when you're going through it, all you got to do is come boldly to the throne. How we can come boldly? Because we know that his blood takes away the sins of the world, takes away our sins. His blood don't cover it, and we don't have to bear it. He takes it away. So we can come boldly because of the price that he paid. Yeshua is our high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. He's our high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5:1-10. For every priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in matters relating to Elohim to offer both gifts and offerings for sins, being able to have a measure of feeling for those not knowing and being led astray, since he himself is also surrounded by weaknesses. And on account of this, he has to offer for sins as for the people, and so also for himself. Notice, the priest even had to offer sin, for atone blood for his own sins. And no one obtains this esteem for himself, but he who is called by Elohim, even as Aharon also was, even as Aaron also was. So also the Messiah did not extol himself to become high priest. He didn't exalt himself to become high priest. But it was he who said to him, who's he? Yah, said to him, you are my son. Today I have brought you forth. Who made him high priest? Yah. Yah made him our high priest. As he also says to another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and petitions with strong crying and tears, to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent fear. Though being a son, he learned obedience by what he suffered. Being a son, listen. When we're going through something, don't think it all so bad. Learn obedience from it, just like Yeshua did. He came and he felt everything we felt the same way. But what he did, he didn't blame nobody for his suffering. He learned obedience from it, the Father said. We can take note of that. We can take note of that. It's not always bad when we're going through something. It teaches a lesson to get our attention. And having been perfected, he became the causer of everlasting deliverance. Hallelujah. To all those obeying him. Who he becomes deliverance to? Those who obey. You don't obey, you don't become deliverance, tell you. That's what the scripture said. It's not nothing we're making up. Having been designated by Elohim, a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was like Yeshua. We're going to read Hebrews 7:1-3. We just read it was in the order of Melchizedek. But right here we're going to see Melchizedek, it was like Yeshua. Hebrews 7:1-3. For this Melchizedek, sovereign of Shalem, priest of the Most High Elohim, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the sovereigns and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, his name being translated indeed first, sovereign of righteousness, and then also sovereign of Shalem, that is sovereign of peace. Verse 3, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but having been made like the son of Elohim. He was just a type, a shadow of what was coming. That's what Melchizedek was. remaining a priest for all time. Listen, those priests died. It was priest after priest. They died. He remains a priest for all time. Yeshua, son of Elohim. Hebrews 7, 21 through 28. For they indeed became priests without an oath, but he became priest with an oath by him who said to him, Yah has sworn and shall not regret. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Yah told him, you are a priest forever with no regrets. Listen, he had to live a perfect life for Yah to say with no regrets. He had to live a perfect life. By as much as to this Yeshua has become a guarantor of a better covenant. And indeed, those that became priests were many because they were prevented by debt from continuing, meaning they died. There were many priests, but he, Yeshua, because he remains forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save completely. You might want to put a star by this one. Therefore, he is also able to save completely those who draw near to Elohim through him, ever living to make intercessions for them. We were just saying, we want to be close to you. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who draw near to Elohim through him, every living to make intercession for them. He's forever living to make intercession for us. Notice, and then completely. Tell you, he's the only one, the only sin sacrifice offering that can take away our sins. No covering. He was no covering. He covered and took them away. He did both. He completed both of them. Verse 26, for it was fitting that we should have such a high priest. Notice his qualifications. Kind, innocent, undefiled, having been separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not need, as those high priests, as Aharon and those that follow Melchizedek, to offer up slaughter offerings day by day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. For he did once for all when he offered up himself. He only did it once. He only did it once for us. Verse 28, for the Torah appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the Torah appoints the Son having been perfected forever. Listen, the Torah appointed men, they had weaknesses. Men, we have weaknesses. It's just as it is. It's just what it is. Yeshua, the Son, having been perfected forever. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 2 through 5. For there is one Elohim, one mediator between Elohim and men, the man, Messiah, Yeshua. For there's one Elohim and one mediator. Thank him for that mediator so that we can go boldly before his throne and ask for forgiveness. Not to be ashamed, we don't have to be ashamed or scared, should I say. We should be ashamed of our sin. Definitely should be ashamed. But shouldn't be scared to go before him and ask him for forgiveness, because that's what his Son did for us, forever making intercession. Yeshua is our atoning sin offering. Yeshua is our atoning sin offering. 1 John 2, 1 through 2, and 2 Corinthians 5, 21. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, I write this to you so that you do not sin. And if anyone sins, listen, if anyone sins, we have an intercessor with the Father, Yeshua Messiah, a righteous one. Yom Kippur. Yom Kippurim, the Day of Atonement. Forever have an intercessor with the Father. And he himself is an atoning offering for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world, for all the world. That's mind-blowing. Think about that. For the whole world, those, even for those that denied him, that denies him, they still have a chance. As long as they got breath in life, they still have a chance. And listen, we don't need to count nobody out, because listen, his arm is not short. He can go and get them. He went and got us, and we was far. We was lost. We was lost just as they're lost. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. You pray for them continually. You pray for him continually, because he says, not for only yours, for the whole world, and they in this whole world. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, Yah, made him, Yeshua, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, in Yeshua, we might become the righteousness of Elohim. Hallelujah. You see that price that was paid? You want to draw close to him. Listen, you want to be in service when you got four in a row. You want more of him. You want more of him. You cannot get enough. We cannot get enough. Why? For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness. We're going to become righteousness because of him. Yeshua is the high priest of the new and better covenant. Hebrews 8:1-6. How many see how important it was to read that Leviticus first? I knew it was long, but it's got to be solid. Your foundation's got to be solid. Hebrews 8:1-6. My little children, it's something about when the Father calls you his little children. You know, my dad's still to this day, and I'm going to be 42 years old, and every time you call him, it's, my little boy, my little boy. It's like I never growed up in his eyes, always his little boy. And that's how we look in the Father's eye. My favorite line he tells me says, my little boy, you still got the victory? Oh, yeah, Dad. More now today than ever, if I still got the victory. He always tells me that. But my little children, sometimes I hear the father that might ask me that. My little children, my little boy, you still got the victory? My heavenly Father, more today. Want more of you. More of you. I write this to you so that you do not sin. And if anyone sins, notice, he don't want us to sin. But he says, if anyone sins, we have an intercessor with the Father, Yeshua, Messiah, a righteous one. And he himself is an atoning offering for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the world. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and slaughter, so it was also necessary for this one to have somewhat to offer. For indeed, he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the Torah, who serves a copy, I might have gave that already, huh? Who serves a copy and a shadow of the heavenly. As Moshe was warned when he was about to make the tent, for he said, see that you make all the according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent service, and as much as he is also a mediator for a better covenant, which was constituted on better promises. Redemption through the blood of Yeshua. Redemption through the blood of Yeshua. We was redeemed through his blood. We have been redeemed. That old time song, remember that? I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9, 11 through 28. That song right now means so much more to us than ever. If we get back to singing it again. Maybe Sister Connie likes the molded, but goodies. Hebrews 9, 11 through 28. But Messiah, having become a high priest of the coming good matters, through the greater and more perfect tent. What do you do? What? The greater and more perfect tent. That the tent that Moshe built, it's not greater than the tent that's going to be coming here on earth shortly. It's not far off. Coming through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Enter into the most set apart place once for all. Notice, he went into the most holies of holies only one time. Aharon and the Levitical priesthood, they had to go every year, year after year after year. Yeshua, once for all, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, having obtained everlasting redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the defile, sets apart for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the everlasting Spirit offered himself unblemished to Elohim, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim? Listen, cleanse your conscience. Listen, he gives you the power to want to obey. He gave us the power by his set-apart Spirit. Cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. And because of this, he is the mediator of a renewed covenant, so that debt having taken place for redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, those who are called might receive the promise of everlasting inheritance. Those that are called, we can receive that promise. For where a covenant is, it is necessary for the debt of the covenant, one to be established. For a covenant cover those dead and firm, since it is never valid while the covenant one is living. Therefore, not even the first covenant was instituted without blood. For when, according to Torah, every command had been spoken by Moshe to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which Elohim commanded you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels of the service. And according to the Torah, almost all is cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. It had to have been Yeshua's blood to forgive. It was necessary then, verse 23, that the copies of the heavenly ones should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly ones themselves with better slaughtering offerings than these. For Messiah has not entered into a set-apart place made by hand, figures of the true, but into the heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of Elohim on whose behalf? On our behalf. Hallelujah. On our behalf, he did that. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the set-apart place, year by year, with blood, not his own. For if so, he would have had to offer often since the foundations of the world. Remember that message? We heard that message. He was crucified before the foundations of the world. It was in the master plan of Yah himself. Think about that. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the offering of himself. Hallelujah. Put away sin. And as it awaits men to die once, and after this the judgment. So also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time. Ba-ba-ba-ba. That's our trumpet. To appear to this, hey, this is what these feast days that we celebrating is all about. It's about rehearsing his second coming. He's coming back for the second time, and he will fulfill them. He will fulfill Yom Teruah. He will fulfill Yom Kippurim, and he will fulfill Sukkot. He will. And what I'm telling you, Sukkot, the more I think about it, those 1,000 years to be with the Torah teacher himself, we're going to know the Torah. When he teaches it, we're going to know it. You know it. You can't help it. If you're going to smell it and feel it and taste it, you best believe you're going to know it. Can't wait. Can't wait for that day. Yeshua, our sin offering, was executed outside the gate. Remember Leviticus? We just read it. Think about those, every verse that was read. Talked about this. Took him outside the gate. Yeshua, our sin offering, was executed outside the gate. Hebrews 13, 11, and 12. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the set-apart place by the Most High Priest for sin are burned outside the camp. And so Yeshua also suffered outside the gate to set apart the people with his own blood. Let us then go to him where? Outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Let us go outside the camp bearing his reproach. The same type that happened, the shadow of what those, what the Levitical priesthood had to do. Yeshua did the same exact thing, suffered outside the gate. You know, Pastor mentioned in that man, Ryan White, all the things he was discovering. There was no hiding him. They put him outside. They hung him on a cross on the main highway. They wanted people to see him, what they was doing. Yeshua, our scapegoat, Isaiah 53, 6-12. Isaiah 53, 6-12. Yeshua, our scapegoat. Remember the scapegoat, Azel? Into the wilderness? Verse 6. We all, like sheep, went astray. We all, like sheep, went astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And Yah has laid on him the crookedness of us all. We don't deserve that. Went to our own way, but yet Yah said, nah, son, you got it. Them too, son. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he did not open his mouth. That's a life lesson for all of us in here. When people's oppressing us and afflicting us by saying things, we don't have to act out and react. We can do just what he did not open his mouth. And listen, you do that, and I promise you, that's going to leave an impression on that person that's doing that to you. He's not going to believe it. He or she, whoever it might be, they want to know, well, how can, after all what I just told this man, I just gave him a few choice words, gave him the number one finger, but yet he didn't open out his mouth. Something's up. Something's up. You want to be a witness? Don't open your mouth. Just be quiet sometime. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is silent, but he did not open his mouth. And he could have. Said he could have called 10,000s of angels he could have called. Didn't open his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And as for his generation who considered that he shall be cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And he was appointed a burial site with the wrong and with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was deceit in his mouth. But Yah was pleased to crush him. he laid sickness on him, that when he made himself an offering for guilt, he would see a seed. He would prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yah prosper in his hands. He would see the results of the suffering of his life and be satisfied. Wow, can you think about that? Yah said he would see the result of the suffering of his life and be satisfied. Through his knowledge, my righteous servant makes many righteous. Through his knowledge, my righteous servant makes many righteous. And he bears their crookedness. I told you, once we finish with this teaching today, you're going to want to. That's all you're going to want is him. That's all. That song is going to mean something to us next time we sing it after this Yom Kippur. Therefore, I give him a portion among the great. And he divides the spoil with the strong because he poured out his being unto death. And he was counted with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He makes intercession for us. We are the transgressors. John 1:29. On the next day, Johann saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, "See the Lamb of Elohim who takes away the sins of the world." See the Lamb, John the forerunner, proclaiming it. It's our last reading, Revelations 5, 6 through 14. It's important that we end with this one. And I looked and saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a Lamb standing as having been slain. Can you imagine this vision that John is seeing? A Lamb standing as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of Elohim, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him sitting on the throne. The only one that can go to the Father and take that scroll out of his hand. Not like yanking it, it was presented to him. He was the only one whose life, that was whose sin, whose blood that was sacrificed was able to do that. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls filled with incense, with all the prayers of who? With all the prayers of the set apart ones. Listen. Set apart ones, our prayers don't go unanswered. They will not go unanswered. We just have to be patient and know. We have to know that what he says in his word will come to pass. Your prayers will not go unanswered. And they sang a renewed song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and have redeemed us to Elohim by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us sovereigns and priests to our Elohim, and we shall reign upon the earth." And I looked, and I heard the voice of many messengers around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, ten thousands of ten thousands, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb, having been slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and respect and esteem and blessing." You think he's not worthy of all that was just read? You best believe he's worthy of all that power, riches, wisdom, strength, respect, most of all. When someone laid their life down for you, you respect that. You respect that. You esteem that. And you give him blessing. You give him honor and praise every opportunity we can get. If we had service 5 days in a row, we in this house. Why? because of this. And every creature that is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such are as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, to him sitting on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing and the respect and the esteem and the might. How long? Forever and ever. Forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and bowed before him and who lives forever and ever. Listen, he rose and he is alive and well. He lives forever and ever. Ain't no more dying. He's not coming back for a second death. He done died once. He came as that humble servant to fulfill that promise. He's coming back as our conquering king. And you can best believe that. He's coming back. Hallelujah. And that's all. Listen, I'm telling you, Yom Kippurim, what was done for us, it makes you want to be close to him. It makes you sing that song that he's all I want. He's all I need. I'm so thankful, again, that he's opening our minds to the scriptures. These feast days are wonderful. It's all types and shadows of what he did in his first coming and what he's going to do in his second. And the second coming is going to be part. We want to be part of this. We want to be part. That's why we have to rehearse. Every time when he's telling us this time of the year, when he says rehearse, listen, I know it gets tiresome. We're human. We're not robots. It does get tiresome. But what you do, you push through. Just think how tired he was. How tired he was being beat, being tortured, and then had to carry this cross to his own sight. Think about that. Well, as far as he could, then someone helped him. Listen. I wish I was the one helping. I wish I could have been there to help him carry that, to bear that cross. Think about it. You do too. You do too. After all what he did, it's amazing. We want to love him. We want to love him with all our being, with everything that is in us. Amen? He's good to us. Let's stand. We serve an incredible, incredible Father. To give his son, his only son,